Deep in my heart, I really believe that this is what they're waiting for. This is what all of these people are waiting for. This is the shoe that is going to drop. This is the shoe that is going to drop, and everybody is waiting for it to drop. Whenever this thing happens, and they know it's going to happen, they're not sure if it's going to be this August, September, October, November, December, or it's going to be the first part of next year, or maybe the middle. They just know it's going to happen soon, in the next several months. And so they are very, very nervous about these things. That's why they're preparing. That is why they're removing the troops from the East Coast, from the naval bases in the East Coast, and military bases, and the West Coast, and the Gulf. Norfolk, Virginia, naval base is evacuating. One large naval ship was towed from a dry dock to sea in Long Beach, California. The National Guard is being called to report from August the 12th to August the 14th.
Yeah, that's confirmed.
U.S. observatories have discontinued public tours till further notice. FEMA has placed a moratorium on flood insurance. Freeze-dried food manufacturers are beginning to be sold out. Tanks are being moved out of California. Major volcanic activity already is intensifying in the southern hemisphere. California is experiencing clusters of earthquakes. A report came from a nurse in Tampa, Florida, that all vacations have been canceled for the month of August until the first part of September.
The problems we're talking about on politics are not so much the real issues for the long term. The great danger that we're facing is the danger from rocks in space. Now, this issue has been around for a long time. Edward Teller, the famous Edward Teller, who's now deceased, was a key sponsor of this effort to deal with this problem. It is an actual serious threat to mankind. Now, we have over periods of time, we have these giant rocks hitting different parts of the planet and taking out areas such as the equivalent of entire city areas, metropolitan cities, things like that. But once in a while, you get in the history of mankind, not in terms of living history of mankind, but of the territory, you get one big rock hits the earth, and everybody on earth dies, or everything on earth tends to die. It may come back later. So we're now in a point where the key issue before us in terms of defense of nations is the defense of earth from these rocks. And the increase of the danger of that source is notable. So therefore, we've got to do something about it. And what happened was, by putting this thing over the president's strongest objections, to put this thing on Mars, on Curiosity, on Mars, we set into place an absolutely indispensable mechanism by which, at the speed of light, which is the communication between us and Mars, we can determine things and make decisions and to plan actions which will enable us now to realize what Edward Teller tried to deal with while he was still alive, the danger of rocks from the area of Jupiter down into
June of next year. We will have a situation where the global coastal event will be underway, the infrastructure will be failing or have failed in your area. There will be still spotty areas where electricity will persist beyond June. But the area I will be in Puget Sound, won't have it. Likely most of the West Coast will be the same way. We will have the breakdown of the just-in-time food supply. We will have horrifically devastating problems relative to structures. And this will come from both extremely bad weather and lots of nasty earthquakes. Not merely one or two, but a whole series of them as things readjust. It would seem as though, whether it's a crack in the Pacific plate like I'd originally thought, that just happens because of the expansion of the Earth, or whether the Earth is actually hit by something in the way of asteroids that causes a crack or doesn't cause a crack, it doesn't really matter. The net result seems to describe pretty much the same thing, and that is a situation where this time next year, June of next year, June, July of next year, we're dealing with a building destruction and horrific loss of life, the breakdown of the infrastructure, the breakdown of, for instance, absolutely no sign of government, no sign of rescue, no hospitals that are operating, nobody operating anywhere near 100% on anything, no gasoline, no delivery systems. During the initial parts of it, after the first rush of the earthquakes and the breakdowns, all kinds of crime and rioting to deal with as people go out of their mind due to the circumstances and also try doing looting under the very nasty circumstances when they should be fleeing for the hills. Also, we have really bad weather. As part of this shock wave that goes around the planet with the global coastal event, whether we want to think of it as climate change or weather or a one-off occurrence, it doesn't matter. There's horrific storms. There's inblown dust or volcanic kind of stuff. It's hard to say. Now, just because I labeled it the global coastal event, do not assume that the inland areas in any way are better off. They are not. Whatever it is, and we don't know for certain whether it will be meteors, that's the presumption at the moment, but we don't know for certain. But whatever it is causes such a huge amount of water to enter the atmosphere that we get inland flooding, new seas being formed, huge amounts of erosion, whole areas turned into the Badlands, giant amounts of infrastructure damage from that, as well as the high winds and the loss of the electrical system, all of these kind of things. So, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad. Now, if any of this is accurate, could be 100% wrong, don't think so. Could be some percentage wrong, likely.
Let's go, and I'll detail for you just who he is. But let's go back to this conference. This conference was held May the 6th through the 10th in Oregon. And I think it was at a place called Timberline Lodge. Dr. Rodney Gomez was one of the speakers at this conference. And he truly is a heavyweight in astronomy. Like I said, I'll detail that for you in just a moment. His name apparently appeared on the webpage of the invited speakers, and that was before he spoke. Now, that web page can be found at http://dda.harvard.edu/meetings/2012. And you can go to that page and you can read all about this conference and who's going to be there and what they're going to be speaking on. It's got the schedule and all of that. But over on the right-hand side of that page, if you scroll down, you will see a list of invited speakers. However, the list you will see is the list that went up on May the 9th. Prior to that, Dr. Rodney Gomez was an invited speaker. Now, they didn't cancel him. That's not what happened here. What happened here is that Dr. Rodney Gomez spoke. He gave a presentation. And this presentation that he gave pretty much rocked the world. It was reported on by National Geographic Daily News, and it says the object's unexpected orbits have, and that's not plural, yeah, it is plural, the object's unexpected orbits have a few possible explanations, said Gomez, who presented his findings Tuesday at a meeting of the American Astronomical Society in Timberline Lodge, Oregon. Now, this is an article that you can find on the internet. It's a National Geographic article. It's written by Richard A. Lowett in Timberline Lodge, Oregon, for National Geographic News, and this was published on May the 11th. So, Tuesday that it refers to is May the 8th. So Dr. Gomez actually did do his presentation. And then, the next day, that website that I was talking about was updated. On May the 9th, this website that I've been talking about was updated, and Dr. Rodney Gomez's name is missing from the list of speakers. What in the world did this guy say at the American, what is it, the Astronomical Society of America? What is it that he said at their conference? They got his name removed after he spoke.
About an hour ago, a very good friend that I've known for 24 years, tightly connected with high levels of the military, he says that the remodeling going on at the White House, allegedly to do electrical upgrades, has actually been a project to build a shelter 60 to 100 feet deep beneath the White House, part of a project which will be expanded to be large enough to have the entire White House staff in this shelter, and of course it'll be connected to the Underground Railroad that's underneath Washington, D.C. as well.
Right.
The point being, the powers that be don't feel there'll be enough time to evacuate their people, and they want a place where they can just take an elevator, get down in the shelter, and then be evacuated by train out of Washington.
Yeah, by train to Mount Weather and other places, Mount Weather, Virginia.
Mount Weather would be the logical location, right?
Yeah, yeah. Remarkable calculations that there is in the equations place for a 3,600-year period returning large object coming to our solar system from around a 40 degree off the ecliptic. The astronomer, one of the head astronomers from Brazil, came forward in the spring with a statement that he's imaged it. You can see it with the infrared satellites called IRAS, the stereoscopic satellites, Chandra, which is X-ray, and radio satellites, too, as well as the Arecibo one down in, can actually pick it up by radio telescope. I have from multiple sources that this is coming in. I'm not setting dates, but I know there were a lot of people trying to see if they could set dates for it. We know that the evidence I have from my sources is probably a red dwarf star, which it also has a debris field of objects rotating around it because it's like a small sun. And that debris field will contain asteroids and other objects that will come into our inner solar system. That, in fact, this object may be the reason why we have a giant debris field called the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, because that's its normal orbital range where it comes into the inner solar system. Is there any evidence that some of these things I'm saying may have some truth, and is there a timeline that you've got some information on, Stan?
Well, first of all, yes, I do think that there is a stable orbit for some object, massive object, that's about, 238 times the distance of Earth from the Sun. That's its mean, circular orbit, but it's really an elliptical or egg-shaped orbit.
Right.
And as you said, tilted at about 40 degrees to the ecliptic. Now, that's coming in from the southern side of the ecliptic plane of our solar system, which means that people in the southern hemisphere probably the most, you know, the ones that we could see it with, you know, imaging telescopes, other than the IRIS satellite you mentioned. Now,
right.
Because that's government controlled, you know.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And,
okay.
And of course, right. the new infrared telescope that can be put on this 747 that was in a joint American-German project 3 years ago that's now up there. So they can go to 40,000 feet and image through that very, very accurately infrared objects in our solar system.
Well, we know that back in 1983 that there were images taken at that time of massive heat signatures. They found 10 of them. One of them, they said, was the missing 10th planet, and NASA and everybody all excited about it. And then all of a sudden they decided, oh, that was just an error. It wasn't really a planet, just a big hot nebula that we thought was a planet.
I just don't have the answer to it.
Right.
The question you're asking, and this is so important, is what's causing these changes? And I myself have wondered, is there something going wrong with the sun? Or I've even wondered, is there, it's now really very certain that we live in a binary star system, and that the other star is a brown dwarf. And among really mainstream astronomers, this isn't really much in dispute anymore. What is sort of silly about this whole thing is that the mainstream astronomers are saying we're just about a year or so away from knowing exactly where this thing is. The idea that they don't know where a star, multiple times the size of Jupiter, is in our own solar system is so absurd, it's ridiculous. But they say it and it's not challenged by anybody. They know perfectly well where it is. Dick Allgaier and Daz Smith, although we have other viewers doing things that had great sessions as well, they both get some type of thing that's coming down. They don't identify it as a meteor, but it's some type of thing that comes down, hits the water, causes this huge tsunami, so it sort of looks like a meteor for me as an analyst looking at it. I can't imagine what else would come down and cause a big crash in the water, causing this tsunami. And now the tsunami is huge, and it hits the coast of Kenya, the Mombasa area, and washes over it. Now, this is the really weird thing. As far as like Dick Allgaier's session are concerned, it actually gets to the foothills of Mount Kilimanjaro. Now, Mount Kilimanjaro is about 70 miles away from the coast. It's not very far away. But Kevin, if these data are correct, and I'm not saying this is a prediction of a deterministic future. Remember, I explained that in the beginning of the show. You cannot say that about the future if there's multiple realities. But if there is a big enough event, it would affect almost all of the futures. So that's what I'm basing this theory on, and we'll find out June 1st if I'm correct. According to the evidence to the data of, say, Dick Allgaier, the wave, the tsunami, gets as far as the foothills of Mount Kilimanjaro, which is like 70 miles inland, or about 100 kilometers inland. Kevin, that's a big wave.
Yeah, that's a huge wave.
That's
yeah.
not a small wave. That's a biggie. So, that type of thing, and we're getting that type of thing in various spots all over. So, remember, we have not all places are similarly affected by big waves. So, we didn't get any big waves in Vaitupu, Tuvalu, for example.